Thank you, worship team. Good morning. Good morning. Woo! Hey, I've just spent a week with our students on Eagle Rock, and we got back late last night. And let me just say that God showed up in big ways, as He always does during this week when we give our hearts in service to Him. And I just want you to come and see what God has done in the lives of our students and the lives of the adults that were there. Just come and get into conversation with them and let them share with you how God has begun to work in their lives and begin to change them because He did such great work this week, not only through their serving of the children and the special friends that we do mission to on that mountain, but as they were doing that and as they were worshiping Him, He did great work in our lives and in their lives especially. And so just come and see what God is doing in their lives. And I know He's doing that in the lives of some of our children, those that are getting ready to go to camp, and in other children who have opened up their heart to God and said, God, come on in, be my Lord and Savior. And so good things are happening. And so I want to encourage all the rest of us to really, even this morning, maybe the beginning of this summer, to begin to lean in and come and see what God wants to do in your life. Sometimes we think during the summer we kind of just sit back, take off, maybe not come to church as much, not be a part of the community as much. But let me encourage you, don't miss what God does in the summer, in the time of refreshing, to come and do that in your heart and your relationship with Him. Let Him renew and refresh your heart this summer. And let me just say, I'm so, so grateful for how this church supports our students and our children's ministry and allows us to help them to encounter God in unbelievable ways, especially during the summer. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being so grateful. We've been in a series over the last several weeks called A Matter of the Heart. Let me just say thanks to Coach Mays for filling in last week. I know he did an unbelievable job, so thank you, Coach. Yeah, you can clap for him. This morning's message is a king's heart, and really, if it had a secondary title, it would be a grateful heart. It would be a heart of gratitude. And this past week on the mountain, we had watermelon several times, and especially the last day we had it was really good. It was just right. How many of you love watermelon? Yeah, I love watermelon. I love the summer because it's watermelon season, right? And I love watermelon. And in a couple weeks, we'll be celebrating the 4th of July and just celebrating the freedom that we have to be a part of this great country. And so this week on the mountain, as I was sitting there on the porch looking out over Cage Cove, I began to just think about just how grateful I am for all that God's did. And I began to realize that there's this tug of war that exists in my heart between celebrating and complaining. And I just began to catch myself doing that. I began to think and ask the question, you know, do I celebrate the stuff in my life more than complain about the bad stuff in my life? I mean, do I celebrate about the good stuff in life more than I complain about the bad stuff in my life? I began to think about those things sitting there, you know, and several years ago I was in an airport and the moving sidewalks were broken. You ever had that experience? You know, there's a moving sidewalk right there and you've got to walk and carry your stuff, and I'm complaining and can't believe it. Why don't they fix the moving sidewalk? Come on, what's up with that? And I'm complaining. All of a sudden, a person with crutches come walking by me, you know, and I kind of look at them and, you know, they're kind of barely making it. And I just keep complaining, right? Keep complaining and keep walking and, you know, complaining. And then somebody in a wheelchair kind of rolls by, and I begin to go, wow, you know, do I complain about the fact that I have to walk, or do I celebrate the fact that I can walk? At Eagle Rock this week, I got to hang out and sleep with the adult guys, the adult leaders, and that was amazing in some ways. But let me just tell you, at nighttime we were very tired, and there was some snoring going on, right? Especially from these guys over here, there was some snoring going on. And I mean, it was, you know, Mitch, it was tough some nights to try to, you know, Mitchell had earplugs. He didn't share that with me. He could have gave me, but it was tough. And I said, oh my goodness, can we go all week with this? Can I, you know? And in the midst of that complaining, I begin to ask, well, Monty, are you going to complain about the snoring all week, or are you going to celebrate just getting to hang out with these men of God and coming along and supporting our students and watching them allow God to do unbelievable and amazing things in their life? I went on a mission trip several years ago to Abaco, to the Abaco Islands, and we got there, and it was like 150 degrees, it felt like, in this place. And we were a part of a church. It wasn't that hot, but it was hot. And we got there, and we were at this little church, no air conditioning in the church. And Sunday morning, they had invited me to preach. And so I got up there, and it was packed, you know, with our kids and with all the Abaco people that came from Mount Hope that day. And I was sweating. I mean, it was just dropping off of me. My shirt was soaking wet, and I'm sitting there going, how in the world am I going to preach? And I have my nose runs anyway when I'm not even sweating, right? And so my nose, you know, I'm sweating, my nose runs, and I'm just sitting up there complaining before I stand up, and the pastor's leaning over to me while we're sitting there, getting ready to go up, and he's wiping me with his handkerchief, and then he wipes his face, and he wipes my face, and it's like, oh my God. And in the middle of all that, I just said, do I complain about the heat, the sweating, or do I celebrate the fact that I'm about to share the gospel with over 100 people? And in that moment, God kind of just whispered into my spirit and said, Monty, quit being a sissy and preach, and preach. You know, I think about that, just that tug of war, that tension between the highs and lows of our life and the good and the bad. And do we complain more about the bad than we do celebrate the good? We've been looking at David's life, and he experienced a lot of the same stuff that we do. And David's life could be described as good news, kind of a good news, bad news story. Something good would happen, then something bad would happen. I don't even know why that's up there, Teresa, but that's okay. That's okay. Isn't it true? Isn't it true in our lives that, you know, there's a series of ups and downs, of highs and lows. You know, in life, that what we do is we find, the truth behind that, you know, that there's good and bad. It's going to happen. You're going to find both the good and the bad. And so do I celebrate the good stuff in my life more than I complain about the bad stuff in my life, right? And it kind of reminds me of this story about these two guys talking, and one buddy said to the other buddy, he says, oh man, did you hear about Johnny? You know, he fell out of an airplane. And his buddy said, oh my goodness, that's bad. That's bad. He goes, no, that's good. He had a parachute on. And the guy said, oh, that's good. He goes, no, that's bad. The parachute didn't open. He goes, oh, that's bad. He goes, no, that's good. There was a haystack underneath him. He said, oh, that was good. He goes, no, that was bad. There was a pitchfork in the haystack. And the dude said, oh, that's bad. He goes, no, that's good. He missed the pitchfork. And the guy goes, oh, that's good. He goes, no, that's bad. He missed the haystack too. And that's bad. That's really, really bad. You know, the highs are sometimes so good and the lows are so painful that there's something within us, I think, that just wants to hang on to those and, you know, celebrate in the highs all the time. It kind of reminds me of this story that was sent to me, and I've shared it before, but it fits this, I think, so well. This little boy had a pet turtle named Albert. He kept him in his little shoebox, and he just loved Albert so much, you know. And one day, he opened up the lid of the box to check on Albert, and Albert, the turtle's upside down, motionless, dead, right? And the boy just loses it, and he starts crying. He runs to his daddy. He says, Daddy, Albert, you know, he's crying. And, you know, he's trying to console him. And so Dad, being a salesman, begins to get this idea, and he goes, listen, Johnny, hey, it's going to be okay. What we ought to do is we ought to celebrate this because Albert's in heaven with God. It's going to be great. He goes, I got an idea. Why don't we invite some of your friends over and have cake and ice cream and just have a party for Albert? And Johnny goes, well, yes, that sounds like a great idea, Dad. And so Dad was trying to close the deal, and he said, you know what we ought to do now? We ought to go out in the backyard, have a little burial service for Albert. And then all your kids, we'll invite them, all your friends, we'll invite them over, and we'll have a party. And so they go outside, and they get ready to kind of pray over Albert and do a little burial service. And Johnny kind of cracks the lid and looks inside, and Albert's right side up, and he's just walking around everywhere. And with a little disappointment in his face, Johnny looked up at his dad and said, Dad, can we kill him? Can we kill him? Johnny wanted to celebrate that and have that party and have his friends over. And so all of you that are you guys that are animal lovers, you can email me at kim.davis@therockworships.com. You know, David experienced some highs and lows. I mean, he really experienced some high highs and then some low lows. And just want to kind of walk through some of those with you this morning. You kind of tell me which is a high and which is a low. Like the first one, the shepherd boy, anointed king of the entire nation. What is that? I mean, that's a high. Yeah, that's really a high. And then David slept with a married woman, married her husband, then got caught trying to cover it up. That's a low. That's low, low, right? David picks up a stone one day and kills the giant Goliath in front of the entire army. That's a high. That's a high. David and his wife had to bury one of his children. That's a low. And then David sees this crippled man named Mephibosheth, begins to recognize that he was Jonathan's son grown up. Jonathan was David's best buddy. And so he asked Mephibosheth to come over into his house, his palace. And from then on, he always ate at the king's table. And that's a high. That's a high. Highs and lows, good and bad. And I realized that the only stabilizing factor, the only equalizing force in David's life was his relationship with God. When David was weak, God was strong. When David was unfaithful, God was faithful. And the result of that, at the end of David's life, if you were to describe a king's heart, if you were to describe really David's life, it could be described in one word, and that one word would be grateful. Grateful. Look at this. David wanted to build the temple of God, but God says this to him in 1 Chronicles 28:3. He said, "But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior and have shed blood.'" Now, in that moment, David could have gotten angry and pouted and crossed his arms and stomped out like a spoiled child, but he didn't. He didn't. And it's because he understood that a king's heart was all about gratitude. It's all about gratitude. Here are five kind of observations that over the years that I've kind of gathered together about gratitude. The first one is this. Gratitude sustains joy and blessing. In the same way that you can relive an offense, someone that offends you, in the same way that you can relive that through bitterness, you can relive a blessing of God through gratitude. I mean, it's possible to relive the joy of yesterday's gifts with today's thankfulness. The second thing is this, is that grateful people can find a blessing, enlarge a blessing, or create a blessing in almost any situation. You ever notice that about grateful people? They just find a blessing in every situation. And the opposite is that negative people can find a burden, enlarge a burden, or create a burden in almost any situation. The third thing about gratitude is that gratitude increases favor and creates opportunity. Gratitude, I think, will make you magnetic for God's miracles. And David hung on to his gratitude even through some highs and lows in his life. And God used him to build a nation and to preserve his people. And then the last two I kind of want to focus in on. Number four, gratitude begins when my sense of entitlement ends. To keep a high sense of gratitude, you and I must keep a low sense of entitlement. You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. And the truth is, you and I are not entitled to anything. But the more I begin to think I deserve something, the less I will be satisfied, or the less I will be grateful. The more I deserve something, the more I'll demand something. I love the poet Shel Silverstein, and This is one of my favorite poems of his. It's called Fourth Place. Let me read it to you. It says, I came in fourth in the beauty contest. Please let me cry a minute. I came in fourth place in the beauty contest. I was so sure I'd win it. They can keep the ribbon that says fourth place. I don't care where they pin it. I came in fourth in a beauty contest, and there were just three of us in it. Gratitude begins where a sense of entitlement ends. And we live in a society, a culture that is more entitled than ever before. You know, we hear it, you hear it, you know, I deserve, and therefore I demand. But not so with us. Not so with the body of Christ, right? We are called to be a grateful people, to have a heart of gratitude. And here's what I believe about David. David realized in his heart that he didn't deserve to be the king, but he was. He realized in his heart that his sin didn't deserve to be forgiven, but it was. It was. And so when God and David said, David, you know, I'm not going to let you build my temple, but I'm going to choose your son Solomon, David was so grateful. And he responded this way in 1 Chronicles 29, when it says, Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, no doubt about that. He's still young and inexperienced, and the work ahead of him is enormous. For the temple he will build is not for mere mortals, it is for the Lord God himself. So using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of God. Now there's enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And now, because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all my own private treasures of gold and silver to help the construction. This is in addition to the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. And then David goes on to list in detail all that he was going to give to help Solomon build the temple of God. If you begin to calculate that, somebody did this, they had too much time on their hand probably, but if you calculate how much David gave in this, you know, economic standard of, you know, today, here's how much he contributed. $5 billion. $5 billion. And that was just in material costs. He also hired 153,000 men to work around the clock for 7 years to construct the temple. And I thought about that number a little bit, and you know, what that number tells me about David, more than anything else, is that David was grateful. David was grateful. Grateful for God's provision, for his power, for his presence in his life. Gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. And the final thing about gratitude is this. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. There's no such thing, listen, there's no such thing as silent gratitude. If you're really grateful for something, you will say it and you will show it. Unexpressed gratitude is a lost opportunity to give God praise. So this is the first thing. If you are grateful, you will say it. And the Jewish culture was so good at this. They had 18 different prayers of benedictions. And benedictions are just special blessings. And just like the song we sang, it was straight out of the Psalms. Bless you, O Lord. Bless you, O Lord. God was their benefactor, and they were the beneficiaries of all of his blessings. They called those benefits blessings. I want us just to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 103. And I just want to read, us to read together, David's prayer of God's blessings. Psalms 103. We're just going to kind of walk down through these verses, so keep your Bibles open. That sounds beautiful in the day and age of technology to hear pages turning. It's awesome. Verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You see, we bless the Lord by praising Him, by exalting His name. And, you know, I think sometimes we ask the question, what does it mean really to bless the Lord? Well, it means just to praise Him. It means to exalt His name. It means to be lost in wonder and love and praise, as the hymn writer put it. It means to be occupied with Him, that you yourself are absent from the scene. You're kind of out of the picture, and you're just praising your God. At Eagle Rock, when our students are worshiping at night, you can almost sense that in them. They've kind of removed themselves. It's not about themselves anymore, and they are just worshiping their God, honoring Him, praising Him, lost in the wonder of who He is, lost in His love that they're beginning to understand more and more about. And so they praise Him. They praise Him. And it's beautiful when we bless the Lord together. Together. David says, he gives him himself this command in verse 2. He says, "Forgetting none of His benefits." Literally, I think it reads, "And do not forget all His awards." There's a difference in forgetting none and do not forget all. I think we're human, we're only human, and we're going to forget some. And so the pen of David put it down in a more realistic fashion. Do not forget all. Forget not all of His benefits. And so there on the mountain this week, I just began to think and ask myself, for what should I be grateful? For what should I be grateful? What are the benefits from my God? And I just want to walk down this passage, this Psalm of David, and look at five benefits from our God. I want to start with this one. God is the one who pardons our iniquities. You ever stop to think about that? Ever thought of what it would be like for you to confess a sin to God and for God to come back and kind of knock on the door of your heart and say, "Hey, you've gone too far this time. No more forgiveness. No more forgiveness." Listen, it's easy to forget the pardoning hand of God. Verse 10 says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That's a long way, friend. As far as the east is from the west, it's an infinite distance that He has removed our transgressions from. The further we walk in this direction, the further away our sins get. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him." Forgiveness. And we've learned this week, the students had. Forgiveness is the first. It's first in order, right? As you can cultivate a grateful heart, as you ask God to give you this grateful King's heart, it's going to begin with forgiveness. Receiving His forgiveness for you. Forgiving your sins and throwing them away as far as the east is from the west. And you begin to think of the good, forgiving hand of God. And as you do, it causes you and compels you to want to forgive others in that same kind of way. The same kind of way. The second benefit is this. God is the one who heals our diseases. even those affecting our soul. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. We had some of that happen on Eagle Rock this week where students begin to receive God's forgiveness from God, from Him, and then begin to realize, wow, in order for my wounds, my emotional diseases, the hurt and the pain of my soul to be right, to put back in right relationship with God and others, I've got to begin to forgive so that God can do His healing. And we begin to see students that begin to take that step of faith and say, okay, I'm going to forgive that person that has wounded me. You see, God is the one who heals our diseases, physical, emotional, spiritual, even those that are in the depths of our soul. He is the one. He is the one. Third is this, God is the one who redeems your life from the pit. He saves us from our sin. Verse 4 says, He who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Not only does He forgive you, He redeems your life from the pit, picks you back up, saves you from your sin, begins to crown you with love and compassion for others. Next, God is compassionate and gracious. God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, even though we are but dust. That's verse 8 and 13. You know, I read that and I begin to realize, wow, what a benefit that God, with His compassion and with His graciousness, is slow to be angry at me. That even though I mess up and just make so many mistakes, my God is slow to be angry at me and is abounding with His love and with His kindness, even though we are nothing. And if you're not careful in that verse there, you can read it. Even though we are nothing, we're just but dust. But dust. Nothing. Just nothing. But God redeems us. And with His love and with His grace, with His loving kindness, He restores us. And then the final bit of benefit that David writes about is that God provides us with things that are good and satisfying. It says in verse 5, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I begin to think about that in my own life. I don't really deserve anything good. You know, I begin to think about, you know, what have I contributed to the world? Really, the only thing I have contributed to the world is sin. You know, to the decay and downfall of this world. Yet God, the great benefactor, has given me and you His benefits. You know, His forgiveness. He's restored me. He's redeemed me. He's picked me up out of the pit. He's shared His love and compassion and kindness with me. Therefore, we have more to celebrate. More to celebrate than we do complain about. I heard someone say this a few weeks ago. It says the worst moment for an atheist is when he is really thankful and he has no one to thank. That's a quote by G.K. Chesterton. But here's what I know about us. We know who to thank. We know who to thank today. God's people, we know who to express our gratitude to. And we will all need the second chance in life. We'll all make those mistakes in our life, and we'll need that second chance. And the question is, will we extend that second chance? Will we extend that forgiveness to others the way it's been extended to us? Because I'm here to tell you, what I'm doing today is really because someone believed in me. It's really because there were someone that God had placed in my life that really believed in me and continued to encourage me and cheer me on. And so what I want you to know is that we believe in you. We believe in you. God has an unbelievable plan for your life, and we believe in you. We've all had at least one teacher in our past we could write and say, thank you for believing in me. Or one co-worker, or one parent, or one coach, or one friend that had our back, that was there for us in a tough time, that was there for us when we needed it the most. And so I want to just challenge you this morning that to pick up a pen or a phone and contact at least one person and say it. Say it to them that you are so grateful for the way they believed in you and your life. But if you have a king's heart, if you have a heart of gratitude, you will not only say it, but you will show it. David just didn't say it. He showed it. He showed his gratitude of God and his blessing. Listen, David would never sit in this temple. He would never work in the temple of God, never get any credit for this temple, and yet he helped Solomon build it, and we can see David's humility and his gratitude. Just listen to his prayer in verses 14 and 15 of Chronicles 29. It says, "But who am I, and who are my people, that we could give anything to you, O God? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. We are here for only a moment, visitors and strangers in the land, as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like a passing shadow, gone so soon without a trace." He was a man who wanted his legacy really to live beyond his life. Beyond his life. He had a king's heart, a heart of gratitude for what his God did for him. I saw a clip of Oprah Winfrey a few weeks ago, and you're familiar with this, how Oprah will give things away, right? You'll show up at her show, and all of a sudden, she'll come out and go, "Oh, it's red day," or whatever she says. I saw the clip, and she, begins to say, it's the day, around Christmas time usually, and people just go, YouTube the clip, people just go crazy. I mean, they start crying, they start falling back in their seats, hugging each other. Whoa, we're here, she's going to give something away. And, that day that I watched on YouTube, they received iPods, Uggs, and gourmet popcorn, right? And that was their response before they even knew what they were going to receive. I mean, grown men crying and screaming and yelling in excitement. And I begin to think, what if Oprah had the power to come out and say, "Hey, this Christmas, I'm going to give you the ability to take all that shame and all that regret and all that guilt in your heart, and we're going to wipe the slate clean." Or what if she could say, at the end of your life, when you're facing death, what if I could take death out of the equation? What if I could take it out of the equation and cause you to live forever and ever in a place called heaven? Now, don't get me wrong. iPods and Uggs and gourmet popcorn, they're great, right? But nothing can compare to the grace of our God, to the benefits that He has blessed us with. And so this morning, what is your response? How are you going to respond, not to Oprah Winfrey saying, "Oh, it's giveaway." No, how are you going to respond to God's grace today? You see, the shepherd boy turned king, he understood that grace leads to gratitude, and gratitude leads to generosity. When grace flows in, gratitude fills up, and generosity flows out. When you've been given much, you want to give much away. And David gave away all that he had so that future generations could receive all that God has. It's not about us, okay? It's always about the future. It's always about the future generation. and pointing them to our God. I read this story about Jeff Conway. He owns a Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and once a year, he goes into the Clarksville Correctional Facility in South Carolina, where he lives at there, and he hosts his own version of a prodigal party. So inside the correctional facility, Jeff sets up an official Ruth's Chris Steakhouse experience. Anybody ever been to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? Yeah, just a few more. They say that it's unbelievable, right? So he sets up that experience for these guys with white tablecloths, beautiful folded napkins. He brings his staff. Let me just read it to you. He brings his staff in, and they begin to serve them, shining silverware and spotless glasses from the restaurant, and then they begin to party. Says he serves them filet mignon, jumbo shrimp, Caesar salad, and cheesecake for dessert. He gives the inmates a five-star experience, serving them and, you know, serving up a good portion of honor and respect. And he says, I tries to treat them just as if they were in his restaurant. Jeff understands the power of a party to transform lives. And he brings radical love by serving dignity and honor and respect, one jumbo shrimp at a time. Here's what I know. Grace turns into gratitude, and gratitude turns into generosity. And that's what I love about you guys. That's what I love about The Rock, because you get it. You guys give and give and give, and it's such an expression of your gratitude. You give and support our children's ministry and our student ministry in unbelievable ways because you believe in the next generation. And you so want to point them to God. And so let me challenge us again. We've got to do everything we can to keep our students and to keep our children involved in the ministry opportunities. Because so many leave the church when they go off to college and get involved in the other stuff of life. And it ends up happening, it's about a 10-year period, a 10-year window where they are, until they get to about 28 or 30. And they may come back to the church or they may not. It's a huge risk for this generation. And so I want to thank you for all you do for this next generation. If you could have been on the mountain and watched your students just serving with the love of God, you would have been singing, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul," as they shared His forgiveness, His love, His kindness into the hearts of children and special friends. Thank you all for what you do for the next generation. Thank you for having a king's heart that is always looking ahead, believing that we need a generation of kids that know Jesus. And not only know Him here, but know Him here and really begin to understand His love. They really begin to understand His gospel. And here's what I know about us. The best is yet to come. That's why we're calling that facility over there a disciple-making center, because it's going to be a place where kids of all ages come and hear, come and see that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. And we can't just say it. We must show it. We are a grateful people. And we understand that gratitude begins when entitlement ends. We know we don't deserve anything, but wow, what we've received, right? Some incredible stuff from our Heavenly Father. And so my question is, are you grateful? Are you grateful? The greatest characteristic I think of David's heart, of a king's heart, is gratitude. It's gratitude. That when grace flows in, gratitude fills up and generosity begins to flow out of our lives into the lives of people around us. Paul says in Galatians 2:7, let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done for you. That's a king's heart. That's a heart of gratitude. That's a heart that's after God's own heart. That's a heart that God can use to build his kingdom. It's a heart that he can use to share his love, his forgiveness, his compassion into a person's life and change them forever. Change them for an eternity. Let's us seek and pursue that kind of heart. A king's heart. A heart of gratitude. Pray with me, please. As we come to this moment of prayer and just a time of decision and response, would you this morning allow his grace to flow into your heart? Would you right now make sure that you have received his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness? If you don't know, if you know about God up in your head, but you've never received him in the depths of your heart, you've never surrendered everything to him and asked him to be your Lord and Savior and to come in to forgive you and begin to change you, today is the day. Right where you sit, right now, just say, God, I know that you love me, and I know that you express that love through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I know that you went to a cross to pay for my sins, my mess up, my dust. Died on that cross and then rose on that third day so that I could be forgiven, so that I could experience eternal life forever, so that I could have victory over death and spend forever with you. So God, right now, because I believe that, not just in my head, but in my heart, God, I invite you in. Just say it right now. God, come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And allow me to begin to benefit from you, oh great God. Forgive me of my sins. Redeem me up out of the pit. Begin to pour on me your love, your kindness, oh God. And God, for your church, for those of us here in this room that have experienced that grace, God, may we be reminded of that. And God, may we allow you to continue to pour your grace and your love and your mercy and forgiveness in us, God, and that because of that, God, we would be filled up with gratitude and our hearts would be changed and so grateful. And that, God, that would compel us to want to live a generous life, giving everything that we have, all of us, to all of you. Going all in, God, so that you can use us to pour your love, your grace, your mercy out onto people that are crying out for it, that are starving for your love, oh God. Use us, oh God. May we be a people that has a heart that hungers and thirsts after your own heart, God. Do your work, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.